just share with the church, and God knows why. And God knows why these things should be shared. And tonight, I don't even really, I'm not good with titles as far as like every now and then I feel like I have a good title or something, and because that don't really matter as much as the message. But I want to preach to you tonight on if Paul was your pastor. If Paul was your pastor. Now, I find that an amazing kind of a statement there. Because if the Apostle Paul attended this church, he'd be preaching tonight. I'll just go ahead and let you know that. I don't feel like I would have, you know, I'd say, you know, Paul, just go on here and preach and you take care of it. And, you know, you wrote most of the New Testament underneath the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, so we'll just let him preach it. But he's not, of course, we know he's with the Lord. But he did give us a lot of information in the Bible. And, well, the book of Acts, I want you to go to Acts chapter 20. And there is a beautiful, it's a kind of a half of a chapter here, and there's some very unique things that are in it. And it's kind of unique because we usually think of Paul as the evangelist, and he is. He was an evangelist, a missionary. He would share the word, share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles. But every now and then, the amazing thing about the Apostle Paul, every now and then you would see some of the words of a pastor kind of come out of his heart, and he would share those things. So I want you to look. This is a good bit of reading, but nevertheless, I just feel to read this to you because I want to kind of work through these verses tonight, and I wanted to give a good bit of time to this, and I want your attention to be with me. Notice in verse 17 of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." So I want you to notice that. He calls the elders of the church of Ephesus to him. Verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go," notice this, "bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." And he goes on to say in verse 24, "But none of these things move me." Isn't that amazing? "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." And then I'm not going to read the rest of these verses to you, but we are going to cover them from verses 26 all the way down to about verse 32 and actually to the end of the chapter. He begins to instruct the elders of Ephesus of what they should do as pastors and leaders of a church. This is very important that you understand and that I understand, especially me as a pastor, what I should be doing. And what you should expect from not only me, but all the leaders in the church. What you should expect from the ministry of a church. And if you're looking for a church, what to expect, what to look for, what a New Testament church should look like, what the pastor should be doing. And then we need to embrace those things and understand those things. And it helps us to understand maybe the heart of ministry even more. This is my life. I'm called to preach. I am a full-time minister. This is what God has called me to do. Brother Glenn can relate with this, and other ministers could as well, that, you know, on Monday morning when some of you are disconnected maybe from some of the things going on at the church, it's all week for me. I'm looking, I'm praying, I'm seeking, I'm wanting to know the next direction for the next service. I'm asking God about this situation and that situation, and God knows the heart. But here Paul gives us instruction, what ministry is and what pastoral or even leadership in a church should be. And that's what I want to preach on here tonight, if Paul was your pastor. if Paul was your pastor. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you tonight for your goodness. We thank you for your word, Lord. We want you to have your way in the service. We want you to move in these altars, God. We want you to move in our hearts. God, you know what we have need of here this evening. And God, I would that you would touch hearts, God. I hope you would just come by, Lord, to minister to every heart. God, to understand what we should be as a church, what we should look for, what we should be a part of. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In the book of Acts, Luke records, from what I can find, 8 messages given by the Apostle Paul. You would find these messages all throughout the book of Acts, but you find in Acts chapter 13, he preaches in a Jewish synagogue and it records those words. You find twice, you also find there in Acts 14 and Acts 17, where he preaches to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 20, what I just read to you, he's preaching to church leaders, where it gives us insight into these messages that are recorded. In number 4, he preaches, there's a message recorded to a Jewish mob in Acts chapter 22. And then in Acts chapter 23, he preaches to the Jewish council. And then he has a message to 2 government officials in Acts chapter 24 and Acts chapter 26. You remember in chapter 24 where he's preaching and testifying to Felix, and Felix trembles, but yet he does not submit to God. And then unto Agrippa, where Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But when it comes to the message that is presented to us in Acts chapter 20, the amazing thing about this, you do not see Paul the evangelist, but you see Paul the pastor. Paul the pastor. And here we see Paul's view of ministry. And here tonight, church, I want you to understand this. I want you really to give me your attention, because this is kind of more teaching here tonight, some of these deeper points of the Bible. But I want you to understand that Paul gives us 4 aspects of ministry that should be in every single church. There should be, number 1, the first thing we'll find, he said that the church should be a people that serve. We should be a serving church. We should be serving our community. We should be serving one another. We should be a serving church. But then we also should be a church that teaches. We should be a teaching church, and the teaching ministry of pastors in this day, it's kind of faded away in some of our Pentecostal churches. You know, they'll read 2 verses and just yell about them for 20 minutes and never cover the context of what's being read. We need to teach the word as well. But also we should be doing evangelism. Evangelism is reaching outside of these 4 walls. We should be reaching. We should be trying to touch hearts and lives. And we do things like that here. We probably could do more, where we do things to help maybe the homeless or the suffering or situations like that. You'd be surprised just how many times I'll get an email from a ministry even around here, and even Sister Teresa's working in a ministry where she's the secretary of that prison ministry. They're looking for men and women that are willing to carry the gospel into the prisons. They can't find people. There's not enough workers. So we should be a serving church, a teaching church, an evangelistic church. But number 4, we should be a sacrificial church, to where we are sacrificing time, we are sacrificing our energy, we are setting aside our efforts and energy and time and making sacrifices so that the church can be what it needs to be. Church, being a part of church and ministry is not always going to be convenient for you. Amen. It's not always going to be convenient for you. It's going to take at times you going outside of your comfort zone. It's going to take at times you reaching outside of that which you are accommodated to. You may not always have every night to yourself on the weekends. You may not, and I hope you ain't this caught up in the secular world, but you're not always going to be able to watch all your favorite TV shows by just sitting there and just saying, well, I want to work from the Lord, but you don't give any time to that. It's going to take sacrifice on your behalf. So here, that's what we see about Paul's view of ministry here. Here we also see some things that Paul would give us about a pattern for ministry. And if you're going to be a minister, if you're going to do something for the kingdom of God, these are things that you must do. Number 1, you must minister towards God. Notice what it says in verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, when temptations which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews. Notice what he says here. Towards God, he says, I'm humble about this. You need to be humble if you're going to be in ministry. There's no place for pride among us. There's no place for pride in your life if you're trying to reach out to others. Paul even mentions there in verse 19, he says, with humility of mind and with many tears. If you're doing ministry, you're going to cry sometimes. Amen. I've shed more tears in ministry than I did. As a sinner, you shed tears because things go wrong. But in ministry, when you become vulnerable and accessible to people, and you try to do this or do that, and at times you just understand what I'm saying. You're putting yourself out there, and you begin to cry tears, and you shed tears. I cry when things do not go as they should go. I weep at times. I can't help. I'm a big crybaby anyhow. But when it comes to ministry, my heart is so soft to the fact that there's people out there that are hurting and dying. There's people out there that are getting it wrong and getting deceived. And my heart is heavy because ministry is a heavy thing. Ministry's not always convenient, church. Some of you need to put your heart on the line. Some of you want to be used of God, but you've got to be vulnerable to be used. I don't know. Yeah, at times I've heard arguments like this. Well, that's just not convenient. Or if I try to do a ministry over here or be involved in this ministry, I might get hurt. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Yeah, you probably will. You probably will get hurt. Somebody might say something to hurt your feelings. Somebody might not always, and even then it hurts my heart even as a pastor, and it should yours. As I know my heart, and what I mean before God here, in humility of mind before God, I know that when I read this Bible, and if I ever sat down to counsel anybody, I'm doing it from this Bible. I have no personal agenda. I'm not making $1 million trying to do this. I want to know what God thinks about it. I want to uphold the principles of Scripture. So what I do, I get in the book, I get in the Bible. And when you do that, and when you give somebody godly counsel in this world, and they reject that, it hurts your heart. I cannot tell you how many times in ministry, you take a Bible out, you lay it on a table, and you say, there it is. This is what God would demand of my attitude or for this situation. For somebody not to heed that and reject that, it tears my heart out. Now, there's great joy when people do heed it. But that's being a minister and a part of it. Notice here he goes on to talk about the temptations that lie in wait of the Jews. People were scheming against him. I'd like to tell you that if you're trying to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody's going to like you. And that nobody's ever going to talk about you. You in the wrong business. You might as well just find you. You might as well do something else. You might find you a hobby and go do something, because I'm telling you right now, when you begin to do the will of God, and if you do the will of God like you should, there's going to be enemies to rise up against you. There's going to be carnality that's going to show up. But what do? You may shed some tears, and you strive to be humble in mind, but there's lying in wait. So ministry number one is towards God in humility with tears, and there's temptations, but there's also ministry towards the church. And he said, notice what Paul says in verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul said, I ain't kept nothing back from you. I told you the whole truth. I gave you the whole counsel of God. And you on the pews, and apart from pastors and ministers, everybody that ever gets preached to, you ought to say, tell me the truth, preacher. You can find a church that won't tell you the truth. You can go somewhere and they will just accommodate to every one of your opinions. And guess what? You can go to the Christian bookstore and somebody wrote a book about it condoning what you're doing. That's just the way we are nowadays. It's difficult pastoring as a holiness, fundamental Pentecostal in these last days. Why is that? Because somebody get mad at you, they're going to find somewhere else. That's right. I cannot even tell you. I counted one day. This has probably been 6 months ago I counted. How many people in this church that I have seen come and go? Right? We would have to build a new sanctuary if everybody stayed. But they're not all going to stay. I understand that. And now look, I'm not saying Abundant Life Tabernacle is the only church going to heaven. I am not that foolish. I do believe there's other good churches that do exist, and I'm not nobody's ultimate judge. I'm not here the church Christ is, but I do know, as for Abundant Life Tabernacle, as for my raising and what I've been taught and what I see in scriptures, Abundant Life Tabernacle will always be a full gospel, fundamental Pentecostal church, because that's what I see in the Bible. I'm not about to renounce speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm not about to embrace the ecumenical movement to where we're going to start coaching for the Catholics to come in here and wave their beads around and speak in tongues with us. We're not going to do it. I can't do that. Notice here, he said, I've kept back nothing from you. He said, I showed you it publicly. He said, from house to house, I taught you. Then he goes on to say this, and now behold, he says, testifying both to Jews, also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. This was Paul's evangelistic message. He says, repentance towards God. You know what repentance is? I'm walking this way. All right, when you repent, you turn around and you start going the other way. Don't you wish it was that simple? It should be. But nowadays, people start walking this way and then they start kind of, doing this long, and they go 2 years this way, go that way. The opposite of what you were living. The opposite of where you're going. The Bible doesn't say I was once, the song and the old theme of the church, it says, it never said I was once blind and now I squint. I was once blind and now I see. Whew. There's sometimes I just don't get it. People that supposedly have a regenerative, divine crisis encounter with the living Christ that just don't seem to be able to do this. I'm on the way to destruction. I'm ungodliness. I want to turn around and go towards God and holiness. Why is it that complicated? Notice what it says here. He's preaching to if Paul was your pastor. Okay, if Paul was standing here, he would preach to us repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't be worried about trying to get up here and tickle my ears or your ears. He's going to tell you to repent. I don't know much about this gentleman. I think I was talking to Brother Shane about it, but there's a gentleman by the name of Andy Stanley. Anybody ever heard of him? I think he is who's his dad? Charles Stanley. Andy Stanley recently made the remarks, you can watch, I watched probably three videos. He made the remarks that pastors should not say any longer in their pulpits, the Bible says. That's what he said. I should say, Luke said, or John said. Why? He said, because nowadays, in our society, so full of atheism, when you say the word Bible, they have negative feelings towards the Bible. That's what he says. He also is the one that said that we should unhitch from the Old Testament altogether. That's what he said. He's also the one that he preached a message, it's called When Gracie Meets Truthy, and there he condones where a man left his wife for another man, and then that couple, these two men were in a relationship, go to another church and were able to serve in that church. And the only thing he said about it is that man's an adultery and that's the only reason he shouldn't serve. These are men that are preaching to the masses and the multitudes. Let me tell you how not to preach to the multitudes, preach holiness. Even on the basic level of holiness, you ain't got to get too deep into it. You just preach that Jesus died on the cross. He's the only way. To quit going that way and go that way. And somebody's going to say, come on now, that's a little too straight and narrow. Well, that's what the Bible called it. Yes. That's Paul's message when he's preaching in his evangelistic work, repentance and faith. But then notice what he says as well, this ministry towards himself. He said, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Have you ever been bound in the Spirit by the Holy Ghost to go somewhere and to do something, and if you didn't, you were miserable? I've been there. It's kind of why I'm here. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I'm here. I didn't one day just jump out of bed and say, Abundant Life Tabernacle, never been there, I'm going to pastor that bunch. I knew I had big shoes to fill. I knew that it had a faithful pastor for all these years. I knew what you were asking. But guess what? As I got down to pray about it, I could say with Paul, now behold, I go to Hampton bound in the Spirit. I'm called to this. This is where I am. This is where God has me. It's going to take more than just a few imps and devils to move me off the course. It would take more than just a person. It would take more probably than many people. What is it? I'm bound in my spirit. There's something that's attached me to something. And Paul's saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. I have no choice about it. God help us in our churches. Have Sunday school teachers bound in the Spirit. Workers bound and the deacons bound in the Spirit. And I know you have a burden. I'm preaching to all of us here tonight. But Lord, help us to be bound in the Spirit. Notice what he says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Look, there's a rather large group of young preachers. All of us got called to preach around the same time. Okay. Matter of fact, remember Brother Shane's been preaching about the same amount of time. We've kind of been called around the same season of our lives, and all within the same few years. And I would like to tell you that all of those have obeyed the will of God, even when it was inconvenient here. Paul said, I go not knowing the things that befall me. There's some people that will not go and do the will of God unless they know everything about the situation. What's the pay? What's the retirement? What does the parsonage look like? You understand what I'm saying? True ministry has always called us to sacrifice. Not knowing. Now, there are times where God allows things to come together and blesses and does these things. There's nothing wrong with that. But Paul was a man bound in the Spirit. He said, I do not know what's going to befall me, save that the Holy Ghost saying in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. All Paul knew is this: I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to be there, but I do know the Holy Ghost has told me in the past, everywhere I'm go, there's going to be problems. I kind of laugh at these preachers that'll leave one church because there's problems. And they go to another church. And when God's in it, that's fine. Something didn't go their way. I'm not talking about when there's been some bad situations. I understand that some pastors had to get out of Dodge. I understand that. Had to get out before everything blew up. I understand. But there's sometimes it can be the most minute thing. And they say, well, you know what? I'm just going to go over here, and I'm going to go over there. I'll tell you right now. Here Paul was. He said, everywhere I go, God's done told me, everywhere I go, bonds and afflictions abide me. They're going to be there. I'm going to tell you right now, if you live in this book and preach in this book, it doesn't matter where you go. You can go to a foreign country. You can go to another town. If you're preaching this like you should and living it like you should, there's going to be something that is awaiting you. Something, let me go ahead and tell everybody in this room, when you're living the word like you should, you're going to be persecuted to a certain extent. I'm not looking for them to give me the key to the city anytime soon. Amen. I have nothing against bridging where you can bridge, working with people where you can work with people, as long as it doesn't compromise and tear away from what the message is. And I do believe what they call, if you didn't know this, we call them common grace issues, which means there may be a group over here, you know, they're orthodox, they have good, we don't agree everything on every jot and tittle, but they're against abortion and we're against abortion, so let's fight abortion. I'm not against that. But I will tell you right now, if it comes to certain ministries to where I have to let down my guard and begin to compromise the book, and it's not a common grace issue, we cannot do that. You're going to find yourself not popular in these last days. I don't know what it is. I need to quit. When I say quit, you know, most of you know what social media is and Facebook. I can put just the simplest thing up there and folks will come at me and want to argue all day long about some of the most simplest things. Yeah. I'll just share an example, and I ain't ashamed of it. Recently, there's a contemporary singer named Lauren Daigle. And she has sang some good songs. I've heard some songs she had put out. I don't even own a CD and couldn't tell you the name of the song. But recently she went and sang for Ellen DeGeneres. And at first, people instantly said, well, Brother Derek, you think she should have went up there and sang? I'd wish she let me up there and preach. I'd go. But at the end of the message, I listened to the interview and she said, Ellen has such a positive message. And at the end of the show, what y'all didn't see is when the cameras went off, Ellen just looked at everybody and said, with Lorne and all of us, the acceptance that you feel today, the love that you feel today, all of us should just embrace this. And then Ellen, who is a known homosexual advocate married to a woman, then gave her, from what I understand, a pair of Ellen boxers as a gift. And I said something about some of those things, and people got so mad at me about it. Why? Because even the basic stand for truth is going to be ridiculed in this day. Well, Brother Derek, how do you handle that? How do you feel? But none of these things move me. That's what I think about it. But none of these things move me, neither count of my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course in joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel and the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul said, look, I've got to leave here. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be persecuted. He's telling these elders here, you're not going to see me no more. But notice what he goes on to say. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. What a statement by a man of God. To look in the eyes of men that he has trained and said, before God and you, I've did everything I should do about this. I'm not going to be guilty of your blood. I took a little time this afternoon to even study my heart a little more and to pray. I don't mind. I feel like I can stand up here before you tonight and before God and you. I feel like in my heart that I am pure from the blood of all men standing before you. I feel like in my heart I have listened to the Spirit. I feel like I stand before you here tonight, pure of the blood of men. Ezekiel 33 and 8 talks about when one fails to cry out in the night, that they would be guilty of the blood of man. And James 3 and 1, it says, let there not be many teachers among you, because greater than condemnation. What is it saying is, when you stand up and you proclaim the word, and you don't do it in fervency, and you don't do it in truth, you are going to be guilty of the blood of humanity. That's why we're not to be casual about ministry and preaching and teaching, because what we teach is going to affect someone else. Amen. Five keys to leadership, and we got to get going here because I thought it'd be way over this by now. All right, number one, if you're going to be faithful in ministry, everybody in this room, you got to make sure you're right with God. Don't minister to somebody else if you ain't got it right. Or at least by the grace of God, doing everything you can that you know to do it right. Notice what Paul says. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. He's preaching to these preachers. I'm leaving. I'm not going to see you anymore. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Notice what he's saying there. Make sure you're right with God before you try to help anybody else. Church, can I just admonish you with that very simple principle? Before you minister, search your heart. Second thing. He tells them to take heed. There in verse 28, he says, take heed. He said, take heed therefore to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Notice what he says there. He says, take heed. So what is my job as a shepherd? I am to take heed to the flock. I am to lead and I am to feed. It rhymes and it helps me remember it. I got to know which direction I'm pastoring and leading. I'm not to be indecisive. Now, once again, I know there's some times that we're trying to pray and figure things out, but I should know which direction we're trying to go, the church we're trying to become. I am to lead you. And also by that, I'm also to feed you through God's word. I am to teach his word. I'm not to get up here. And I know sometimes I ask God, Lord, I felt like that message, I didn't get it across correctly, or that didn't come out the best, but I'm doing my best to feed you. I want you to be nourished by by God's word. I want you to eat of his hidden manna. I want you to know of his truth. But I've also learned in ministry, there's times you can set the table, but you can't make nobody eat. So there's a great balance between feeding and leading. But notice what he says in verse 29, for I know this. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, look, you have got to watch and you have got to warn. Number one, he says there in verse 29, people are going to come from without. They're going to be like grievous wolves trying to hurt the flock. Everybody that comes through, every message that ever comes in, and everything that ever goes on out there that comes in, we have to be careful because there's some people that are reckless with the church. Secondly, he says they will not only come from outside, but the ones we really need to be careful with are those that arise from the inside. You find that in verse 30. So what are we supposed to do? He says in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. He's saying, look, I've watched and I've warned. That's what we are to do as the leadership of the church. We are to watch and we are to warn. There's some pastors today that I used to embrace and be friends with. Some that were dear to my heart who forgot to watch and warn. And I'm telling you, I've looked at some of those situations. It's gotten so backwards and so sideways. And I only said, Brother Derek, what's your response? It's with tears and through prayer. God, don't let that become Abundant Life Tabernacle. A church is a fragile thing. Don't take but one wolf turning loose can cause a lot of damage to the sheep. We've got to be careful. Lastly, he noticed a few more little words here. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You know what Paul's saying here? You're not going to see me anymore. He's leaving. So if Paul was your pastor here tonight, then he would be a visiting pastor because he couldn't stay long. And he's about to leave. You know what he would say? He would say, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. What he means by that, he said, I'm giving you to God. I've done my part. Do yours. Do yours. Now, when I say that, I honestly don't feel on the level of Paul to say that I'm still doing my part. I'm still learning and growing. I'm not departing. I'm not leaving you. But that's what Paul would say. I commend you to God. And he goes on to say, I have coveted no man's silver or gold. He's talking about freedom from self-interest. He said, I was not a greedy preacher. I wasn't there for silver or gold. And I have a problem with preachers that are trying to preach for money. I understand sometimes preachers have to preach for a living. That's different. Which means you're preaching. And offerings and things keep you going. I understand. I evangelize. I know all about that. And there's sometimes somebody said, why are you driving 4 hours to preach one service? I said, I ain't got a choice. You got to do what you got to do. You're trying to preach, eat, and live. But here, notice what he's saying. I haven't came here trying to get anybody's gold, money, and apparel. And I will tell you, that's one of the major downfalls of preachers. One old black preacher said years ago, the three downfalls of preachers, gold, glory, and girls. And if you know anything about the church and history, you know it's been gold, glory, and girls that have messed up preachers. But you have to be careful. Paul's saying, I have not come seeking those things. I was telling my wife just recently, we have done our best, and once again, before God, I'm learning, I'm growing, and I've learned a lot since I've been here, and I'm going to continue to learn, and one day I'm going to probably tell you I'm still learning, and I've learned a lot in the past, even before I came here, but I've learned this: when you really keep a burden in your spirit and strive to do the will of God, there's sometimes financially, sometimes it felt like mentally, sometimes it felt physically that you were wore out, you didn't know if you had enough to keep going. But I told my wife as we sat down at dinner last night, it's amazing, I've always had enough. Doesn't always mean an abundance. And there's still sometimes as we go through and do our taxes every year and we give them our receipts, sometimes I look at my wife, I said, this is almost supernatural. And I mean, I don't even know how all this just comes together. Before we had Chloe, our daughter, I said, we can't afford to have no kids. And great counsel comes, you never afford to have kids. I can't tell you how many diapers I've bought. How much gas I've put in the gas tank. How many times I looked at the bank account and thought to myself, man, there's a lot more month left in that money. But can I tell you, honest before Lord, there's always been enough. I don't even know how, I mean, once again, you say, Brother Derek, has God put money in your account? I didn't say that. But I know one thing, it just seems mighty wonderful that things just come together. But Paul, how did Paul live his life? Because he did not seek silver and gold. He's not worried about that. He is just doing the will of God. But notice what happens here at the end. I think this is such a beautiful thing. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Can you imagine as Paul here is about to leave, he's asked these men to come 30 miles to see him. And Paul is preaching to them and telling them what to do. And at the end, Paul kneels down on his knees, puts his arms around these brothers and sisters. I mean, brothers from what we, just brothers here, I'm sorry. But in my situation, be brothers and sisters. As a church, what I pastor. Here it is. He kneels down and he prays with them all. And notice, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he had spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. This was going to be the last time they saw him. And it's not good riddance. I'm glad. Don't you think Paul over several years probably said some things and preached some things and did some things in people that probably was just, he was tough. These are Gentile people. These are folks in Ephesus coming to this new thing. But notice here, they're not looking at him and say, get out of here, Paul. Yeah, yes. I can't wait for Paul, the man of God. He's going to leave. And that's not what they did. They began to weep and cry. And I would dare say, and what I have prayed for this service tonight, what I want to leave in your spirit. Notice here the results of true leadership is they prayed, they wept, and they sorrowed. That's what ministry will do if you minister from the heart. You ever thought how Jesus was such a great example? How could he look at Peter and say, get thee behind me, Satan? Isn't that a pretty bold? I mean, you know, so I hadn't never said that to nobody. I don't plan on it. I've never really felt, hey, you devil, get behind me. And there's a few people in this world and ministry that I might have met and thought that, but I never said it. But how was it that Peter would always honor Jesus, even his strong commands? Because the same Jesus that would rebuke Peter is the same Jesus that would wash his feet. That's servitude. That's ministry. We're not only to do that, serve and all this, but, and I mean it right here tonight, don't make me go get a water bucket and start washing feet, folks. I don't want to. Don't. Okay, I'm not going to. Stand to your feet before you get nervous. So tonight, I don't even know how long I've been preaching. It's okay. We ain't been in church but an hour. Wow. Been preaching maybe 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes. So tonight, I would have you to understand this. Church, we are to be a church of serving, of teaching, of evangelism, and of sacrifice. We're to be a church that makes sure that we're right with God. If we're going to be the church we need to be, we need to make sure we're right with God. We need to take heed to the flock. Search our hearts, look among us, watch, warn the flock. We are to watch and warn the flock. We are to study and to pray, and we are to find freedom from self-interest. We don't need no self-interest around here. We don't need to try to promote a personal agenda. We don't need that. I honestly stand before you innocent of that. I don't feel tonight that I'm here with the agenda of Derek Jones. I don't have one. I'm not that organized to have one. Write out your agenda. And I would really have to simply, if I'm thinking of it, is do the will of God. Be the church that God wants us to be. What will be the results of that? I hope we can pray together. There shouldn't be anybody in this room that you shouldn't feel comfortable going to them and say, would you pray with me? Oh, I felt that in my heart. Shouldn't be anybody in this room that you shouldn't be able to go to that says, look, and this is the faithful bunch tonight, so I'm talking to us this way, that you shouldn't be able to go to them and say, look, will you pray with me? I would love to pray with anybody in this room. I would love to bear any burden that I can bear. I'd love to. Shouldn't be anybody in this room that we shouldn't be able to weep with and cry with, because we should care that much for one another. That's what Abundant Life Tabernacle should be. If you want that tonight, would you agree with me tonight in prayer? Would you ask God to help us be that? I don't want this to come across as a self-interest statement, but would you pray for your pastor? That would be what Paul admonished the elders in Ephesus to be. I want to be that. Striving to be that. I want to grow into that more. But also, I want us to be the congregation that we need to be in these last days. There's churches all around us, brothers and sisters. I want to be a Pentecostal church that believes in revival, that believes in repentance, that believes in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want God to use Brother Shane and Brother Matthew and continuing to use Brother Glenn and myself. I want God to set on fire every Sunday school teacher, everyone that sings, everyone that worships. I want God just to ignite us and set us on fire and unite us. That's what my heart is. Preserving and protecting what God has right here. God, help us do that. If Paul was your pastor, that's what he would tell you. And I'm saying that to you here tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, God, help Abundant Life Tabernacle be the church it needs to be. God, I realize as a young pastor, that as Paul was admonishing these elders there in Ephesus, God, he told them to take heed unto themselves. He told them to feed and to lead the flock. He told them to watch and to warn. He told them to teach and to pray, not to have self-interest. God, as they bowed down, they wept and they cried together. God, let that be said of us tonight. Help Abundant Life Tabernacle to be what we need to be. Help every member be what he needs to be in these last days. Help us to be what we need to be, Lord Jesus. Help us to be what we need to be in these last days. Hallelujah. God, help us. Help us tonight, God, to be the church that we need to be, Lord. God, help us to take heed to ourselves, to be bound in our spirit, to be bound in our spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. I feel tonight that God's calling us to unity. God's calling us to a recommitment. I want to be the church that God wants us to be. That has to be more than just a quick trip to the altars. God's calling you to faithfulness. I can't relay this enough. God's calling us to all these areas. Church, there's outreaches coming up. There's people that can't come to church. There's some that are sick and just not able. There's some that probably could be here that doesn't come, but you can encourage and talk to them, and we can grow this church the way that God wants to grow it. Wouldn't it be a shame to compromise everything, to let down the everything spiritually, to quit preaching the message, to quit believing that Pentecost is real, just to move into some social environment? I don't want it. I want God to grow us the way he wants to grow us. Let it be in truth. In our dismissal, I want to do this. Every brother that would, find you a brother, hug their neck, and say, I love you and I appreciate you. Brother Neff, go ahead.
Before we go.
Yes, obey God, brother.